الله الرحمن الرحيم. Several places in the Quran Sharif. Allah Ta'ala alludes to the fact that we leave out things that don't concern us. One is in Surah Baqarah, وَلِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ هُوَ مُوَلِّيهَا فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. This is the one place. وَلِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ وِجْهَةٌ هُوَ مُوَلِّيهَا. So this comes on the second page of Sayyakul. And the prelude to this verse is that when after approximately 16 months, the Muslims were commanded to turn the direction from Baytul Muqaddas to the Kaaba Sharif. So the Jews were upset at this and they said, مَا وَلَّاهُمْ أَنْ قِبْلَتِهِمُ الَّتِي كَانُوا عَلَيْهَا. So what turned them away from their direction? Their direction was Baytul Muqaddas. So what's turned them away from this direction? So Allah Pak gives the reason. There's two reasons that Allah Pak gives. One is قُلْ لِلَّهِ الْمَشْرِقُ وَالْمَغْرِبُ. Allah Pak is not confined to any direction. You will not say that Allah Pak is only confined to the direction that we pray in, but He is in every direction. Like He's in the east and He's in the west, south, north is equal. Right. So to feel that prayer must be just in one direction, it is like you saying that you will only get Allah Ta'ala in this direction. You won't get Him in any other direction. So your belief and your understanding of Allah Ta'ala is pervert, it's wrong. Right. Number two, the second reason Allah Pak says, وَمَا جَعَلْنَا الْقِبْلَةَ الَّتِي كُنْتَ عَلِيهَا إِلَّا لِنَعْلَمَ. This direction that we changed from the Baytul Muqaddas to the Baytullah, why have we changed it? There is a trial. Within it, there is a trial, there is a test. What's the test all about? مَنْ يَتَّبِعُ الرَّسُولَ مِمَّنْ يَنْقَلِبُ عَلَىٰ أَقِبَيْهِ. We want to see who's going to listen to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and who's going to turn back on his heels, who's going to turn away, become apostate. Okay, why did he have to change away from our direction? So the one is that person who is going to obey the word of Allah Ta'ala, the command of Allah Ta'ala. And the other is that going to be that person who's going to be obeying Allah Ta'ala, provided his commands, Allah Pak's commands, are agreeable to him. He says within his mind that I'm prepared to accept, but provided that commands must be agreeable to me. So he made his own mind the benchmark, the criteria. So if it is going to be like this, then I'm going to accept it. If it's not like this, then I'm not going to accept. So Allah Pak's test is to see who is the one that is totally submissive to my command. Whether it is agreeable to him, not agreeable to him, irrespective. I look at it in this manner, that this is the command of Allah Ta'ala, I need to comply. Today he asked me to face this direction, I will listen. Tomorrow he asked me to face in another direction, then I will listen. So I'm not worried whether it's agreeable to my mind or not. That's why the hadith also says that the Jews are jealous over you for some reasons. One is this, that the last Nabi is amongst you, Rasulullah SAW, right? He's the last finality. There's no Nabi to come after. So this is one of the reasons for their jealousy, that the last Nabi, they knew that there was a Nabi going to come. But they expected the Nabi to come from their progenies. Now it turned out that it was not from their progeny, it was from their brother's progeny, Ismail alayhi salam. So that was the thing that incited their jealousy. It spurred up their jealousy. The second reason was that you people have been blessed with the Qibla, the direction of performing namaz towards the Qibla. You people have been blessed with it, because this was the Qibla of Ibrahim alayhi salam, their great-grandfather. They were longing that they could have got the blessings of turning in that direction. They didn't get it, and we got it. So that was the second reason why they feel so envious over the Muslim. So there are several reasons why. Another reason also is that, why was this verse revealed unto you? الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ. We have completed and perfected your deen. And this type of a verse wasn't revealed on the Jews. It was revealed unto the Muslims. So there were several reasons which were the cause of their jealousy. Now, by and large, Allah Pak wants to see now who is going to be submissive. The same thing happened to Shaitan. Shaitan also was a worshipper, right? He was worshipping Allah Ta'ala, obliging. But when the command was not agreeable to him, then he turned away. Otherwise, before that, for thousands of years, he was worshipping. The moment that command came, and that command wasn't agreeable to him, then he just turned away. So he made his brain, his intellect, the criteria, it must come within the ambit of my agreement. If he doesn't fall, then I will move away. See? So the reason for the Jews going off is exactly the same as the reason for the Shaitan going off. Both went off for the same reason, one and the same reason. So you understand, when people go off, then it's for this reason. And they want things to be agreeable to them. So Allah Pak says, وَلَوِتَّبَعَ الْحَقُّ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ لَفَسَدَتِ السَّمَاوَاتِ. If the truth had to be agreeable to them, in other words, Allah Pak had to agree with them, had to follow them, then there'll be wholesale corruption. I want everything for myself. And Allah Pak is the Khaliq and the Rabb for all mankind, for all times. But if now a certain group wants that the whole system must conform to him, then there's going to be corruption, widespread corruption. Because one person wants everything to be conforming to him. Just hypothetically, look at one thing, right? Look at the sun, right? No. Allah Ta'ala has kept it in His control. The benefit comes to us, but it is in His control entirely. Had Allah Ta'ala to keep the control of the sun in man's hand, then I think more than half of the earth would have been frozen to death or roasted, right? So if I had it in my control, I don't like you, it's alright. I'm turning the sun away from you. Now you'll either roast to death or either you will freeze to death. A little bit of tilting of the sun. So you see man how he works, how he thinks. The rain, Allah Pak is sending down the rain for our need. But had Allah Ta'ala to give the control of the rain in our hands, what would have happened? We've all been destroyed. So man is so corrupt. كُنْتُمْ تَمْلِكُونَ خَزَائِنَ رَحْمَةِ رَبِّي إِذَا لَأَمْسَكْتُمْ خَشْيَةَ الْإِنْفَاقِ. One is, there will be corruption. And the other fear is that you will keep it back with the fear that it will get It'll get spent, it'll get wasted. So you'll keep it back. So man is like this. Nonetheless, what we are talking about, the reason for the Qibla being changed. Now, after the Qibla had been turned towards the Kaaba Sharif, so they had a lot to say. Why is the Qibla being turned, etc., etc. So Allah Pak says, مَا أَنْتَ بِتَابِعٍ قِبْلَتَهُمْ. We've appointed one direction, right, for everybody. They had also a direction, and you have a direction. You're not going to follow them, and they are not going to follow you. You're not going to follow them for a different reason, but they're not going to follow you for a different reason. They're not going to follow the truth because of personal reasons, because of the ego, right? And you're not going to follow because of Allah Ta'ala. Allah says, you follow this direction. So their defiance is for a different reason, and you refusing to go with them is for a different reason altogether. مَا أَنْتَ بِتَابِعٍ قِبْلَتَهُمْ. Right. Then Allah says, وَلِكُلِّ وِجْهَةٌ هُوَ مُوَلِّيهَا. So this type of a system, right, that we have appointed, now لِكُلِّ وِجْهَةٌ هُوَ مُوَلِّيهَا. So every person has been appointed with a direction, and that will be his direction in prayer. Right? The Jews will have a direction, they will follow that direction. Muslims will have a direction, they will follow that direction in prayer, right? Now, when that is over, فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. Now, there's no need now for you to discuss this matter any further. So what you must do then? فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. Then you must rush and hurry towards good deeds. Because this, Allah Pak is saying, it's a foregone conclusion. They're not going to listen to you. They are adamant, right? They are overwhelmed with their egos. So they're not going to listen to you, right? But by the same token, Allah Pak says, this type of a system was always that each people had one system, one way, right? Different ummats, they had different ways. So if you have a different way, then there is no reason for them to object. Because this was a system that prevailed in the previous ummats, that each had a different system to follow. If you got a system to follow, so what is the reason for them to object? Now, when this is established, that people had different systems to follow, right? And you have a system of your own, so they have got no reason and no right to object. So when they have no right to object, then don't discuss this subject with them any longer. Because it's a waste of time now, futile. What's the need to discuss this any longer? It's established already, now what's the need to discuss? So, you're going to be discussing this, you're wasting time. So, but what you must do, where must you invest your time? فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. You must invest your time in something that is useful, something that is beneficial. So forget this thing now, it's over, foregone conclusion, they're going to behave like shaitans, let them carry on. But you just go in the direction that you need to go. Understood? So this is the first place where Allah Pak is speaking to us, that we don't pursue things that don't concern us. It's a waste of time, there's no good in it, no benefit, move away. But where you must invest your time, in things that will bring you some merit and some reward. The bring you a merit and a reward, virtue, then you move in it. And it's futile, there's nothing in it, then why must you move in that direction? Again, Allah speaks about the same thing again, same thing in Surah Kahf. Surah Kahf, I think, comes about two times. Right. One is سَيَقُولُونَ ثَلَاثَةٌ رَابِعُهُمْ كَلْبُهُمْ وَيَقُولُونَ خَمْسَةٌ سَادِسُهُمْ كَلْبُهُمْ رَجْمًا بِالْغَيْبِ وَيَقُولُونَ سَبْعَةٌ وَثَامِنُهُمْ كَلْبُهُمْ قُلْ رَبِّي أَعْلَمُ بِعِدَّتِهِمْ مَا يَعْلَمُهُمْ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ فَلَا تُمَارِ فِيهِمْ. Right. So, when this story of the cave had taken place, so the people At that time, they began to discuss that what was the number of the inmates of the cave? What was the number of the companions of the cave? So some say, Thalathatun, there were three, fourth being the dog. Some say five, and the fourth being the dog. Some say, Sadisun, sixth, and the seventh being the dog. Or seven or the seventh, the eighth being the dog. Right? This was the different versions, right? So Allah Ta'ala says, stop this discussion. Because knowing the number of the companions of the grave is not going to take you anywhere. What are you going to get out of it? Are you going to get anything from? Are you going to prove anything out of it? You're not going to get anything. You're not going to get the recognition of Allah Ta'ala. You're not going to get dunya, and you're not going to get akhirat. So, just close this subject. How are you going to close the subject? Rabbi a'lamu bi'iddatihim. There's no need for us to discuss this. Allah Pak knows the number best. The exact number He knows. So why must you discuss it when you don't know it, He knows it? What are you going to get out of it? You're not going to get anything out of it. Here you understand, again, things that don't concern us, leave it out. Don't fall into things that don't concern you. Your time is too precious, and fortunate is the person who understands that the time is precious. I mustn't waste my time in these things. In the meanwhile, we also understand the futility in a lot of scientific researches, right? There's so much of futility. This morning I was thinking that just some months back, I think about 3 months back or 4 months back, there was a hot discussion about the landing some space shuttle onto the Mars. If someone is aware, he'll know that they are planning this, right? They plan to land one shuttle on Mars, right? They didn't stop here, and they made tashkil also. Baqaida, they made tashkil, who is prepared to go. And with that understanding, with that provision, there is a one-way ticket. You can't come back. And the explanation they gave is that the amount of fuel that is used to reach up there will get exhausted. As we reach, that fuel is exhausted. Now you can't come back. So it's just a one-way ticket. So they were that gandas that were prepared to go. Really, they were prepared. So they were about 3-4 people, they were volunteers, they booked them on, all were booked on. Right. Now, then after that, I think about a month later, then they cancelled the whole thing. It was hot news at the time, they cancelled the whole thing. And they said that it's a possibility that you catch a bug there, right? And perhaps you can't, it's not going to be curable. You don't want to be curable, that all will die. So they shelved the whole idea. Now I'm thinking within my mind, okay, as they give the description of Mars, it's covered in ice. Ice, and there's no air, like in any other planet, there's no oxygen. Right? It can't sustain life. So these people here, they're going to go stay there. What are they going to achieve? Right? What are they going to achieve? Are they going to get anything? You would just be staying around there. You can't move because it's full of covered of ice, right? So you'll have your space suit or your suit or something, and it'll be moving a little bit here and there, right? And then what can you be doing? What will you be doing besides the name? Or you went there, right? But besides that, you don't get anything else. Nothing. You've got no freedom, no life, absolutely nothing you got. Now that whole exercise was done. It was so much of millions of dollars was spent for them to make this thing here, etc. And whose money is the taxman's money is used to get this type of thing. Eventually they came to the conclusion that we will not be able to sustain life because of whatever reason. That will shelve the whole idea. But you can see the futility. What are you going to go there and do? What? How are you going to spend your time? What are you going to do? So I say rather you plant potatoes in your backyard. You get something to eat, at least you get some fried chips at least. Now, yeah, what are you going to get? See, Allah Pak jab kisi ki akal ko mask kar deta hai, Allah Pak, when he distorts your brain, you know. And this is what happens. Now, our people like Usiyar say, you know, when you reach up Mars, which direction must you namaz? But you're asking now something that is futile. There's no reason for you. There's no dunya reason, no akhirat reason. You're not going to get any sawab for that. No dunya faida. No faida for deen, no faida for dunya. But why must you do such a thing? If they are acting like stupids, right, must you also act like stupids? So sometimes in the name of science and technology, you can become stupid. And you don't even realize that you're becoming stupid. Just that you've got a name, science and technology, right? So that means whoever is in science and technology is intelligent. So it doesn't have to be. It's a different thing altogether. And intelligence is a different thing altogether. We think that you've got science and technology, so you've got brains. It's not a fact. So that's the second place in the Quran. So Allah says, "Qul Rabbi a'lamu bi'iddatim." Now this topic, disclose it. I know, Allah knows, I know the exact numbers. So nobody knows besides me. So forget it now. You're not going to know the right numbers. It's just speculation. Don't go behind it. Again, what is the lesson? Don't go behind things that don't concern you. See? Again, there's a third place in the Quran, again, in the same incident of the Ashab-e-Kahf, the companions of the cave. I'm showing you the Quran, you know, and how much it is emphasizing on this, things that don't discuss, don't concern you, leave it out. Don't fall behind it. كَذَلِكَ بَعَثْنَاهُمْ لِيَتَسَاءَلُوا بَيْنَهُمْ. Now, they began to discuss, the people of the cave, they began to, the inmates of the cave, كَمْ لَبِثْتُمْ. How long were you around? You know, how long were you around? So, one person says, perhaps one day, or just part of a day. Perhaps they measuring the time from the time that they went to sleep and the time that they got up. So they felt just half a day or quarter day or whatever. So, لَبِثْنَا يَوْمًا أَوْ بَعْدِ يَوْمًا. So, then what's the verse after that? رَبُّكُمْ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا لَبِثْتُمْ. Again, Allah says, forget, don't talk about this thing here, because you're not going to get the right numbers. So you must now invest your time in something that is more useful. رَبُّكُمْ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا لَبِثْتُمْ. The exact amount of time that you lived around in the cave, you not know, it's unknown to you. So if you're going to be discussing this topic, then you are discussing something in vain. You don't know. What are you going to get out of it? You're not going to get anything out of it, so leave that subject. Because it's just speculation. You don't have the facts, you don't have the figures, you don't have nothing to work out. So what you must do, فَبْعَثُوا أَحَدَكُمْ بِوَارِكِكُمْ هَذِي الْمَدِينَةِ فَلْيَنْزُرْ أَيُّهَا أَسْكَى طَعْمًا. Right. So you do something that is useful. The thing that is useful is now, be hungry, right? So do something. Now you're going to discuss, right, hey, we stayed here 1 day, 2 days, half a day. But that's not going to solve your problem. Pet ka masla istihal nahi hoga. You're not going to sort your hunger out. So you will do something that is useful to you. Whether it is dini, whether it is dunya, but something that is useful to you. So the useful thing is, take some money, go buy something from the shop, and sort yourselves out. You know. That's a better investment than thinking, oh, hey, how long we stayed here. So you see, sometimes the scientific research is just a waste of time. Intellectual curiosity. Satisfying intellectual. What do you get besides that? Nothing. And this problem becomes even more compounded, you know, when I say scientific curiosity, landing a shuttle in Mars, here, there, and all that. When it becomes more compounded because of whose money was used? It was the taxman's money. It was the public's money used for satisfying their minds. It was a game that they were playing, and whose money was used? It was the public money used, billions of dollars used for their games, their amusement, their entertainment. What does the public get in return? Nothing. And the public doesn't even realize, so they can't even object. But they're paying for, they're coughing for these people here. They're dying for them. But they get nothing in return. Like how you got, sports, whether it's international, provincial, whatever sports you have. there's thousands and millions of people all over the world that will follow the sports. And then there'll be those that will say, this is my team. You know, I support this team. Right? But or in hindsight, do you ever think about it? By, I'm supporting them, I'm after them. What do I get in return? You know, you make an investment of your time, of your wealth. You want something in return, right? An Indian person, he doesn't want anything for nothing. I can't just put my money here. I want something in return. Now I ask you, what did you get in return? Nothing, absolutely nothing in return, besides wasting your time, effort, nothing in return. And amongst us will be those people as well, right? We'll see now, in the sports here now, for example, one person became very, very popular, right? Became very popular in soccer, in tennis, in cricket, I became very, very popular. Now work out the ratio that from the entire world Muslim population, what percent of person got selected for international sport at that level? What percentage? See? Is it 100%? Is it 1%? Is it 1,000%? Is it 1,000,000%? It's more than 1,000,000%. I may be right if I say it is 1,000,000,000%. So, to get selected for that level of sport, 1 billionth of a Muslim, 1 billionth of a Muslim got selected. So you got a 1 billion chance to get selected. But now, because the person became so popular, now we must send our children also for training. So he got selected now, we also can get selected. If he got selected, then we can also get selected. See, in Arabic they teach you, Ash-shazu kal-ma'dum. When a thing is too rare, then don't run behind it because it is like non-existent. The example that they give is, for example, you're walking on the shore, right? Spingo Beach, walking on the shore. Walked. You came up with a pearl. Right? Picked up a pearl. Went and offered that thing to a jeweler. You got $1 billion for it, right? Now, can you use this as a marketing tool that you want to become a billionaire? Walk the shore. Walk the shore, you can become a billionaire. And anybody in his right frame of mind, does he do it after that? You know, you won't do that. Because it's 1 billionth of a chance that you can pick up that pearl and get so much. Now, you don't use this as a yardstick. But now, strangely, when it comes to sports, then we use that as a yardstick. The popularity, the radio, television, everybody's talking about it, there's adverts, right? So, then you want to go by that. Now, how much of time is being wasted? Time is wasted, energy is wasted. Then the child's time is wasted. The child, as he's growing up, it's his education. Now the parents are more worried about sports training than his education. Be it his secular education, and more important, his Islamic education. If that education suffers, it's all right, but he must just progress in the sport. And what is he going to get after this? No guarantee that he get anything. There's absolutely no guarantee he's going to get anything. But no, his time, his effort, our wealth is spent all just perhaps, possibly, he'll come right. So Allah Pak doesn't like this. Things that will not bring you any returns, don't put your time, your effort, don't run behind it. What happens when you do that is the more important things of life, they get left out. See, it's a shaitanic tool, you know, to distract mankind. When we were small, there used to be this trains, you know, just running, just parallel to our house, our old house, just parallel to the house, there was a train. There would be trains running, coal trains, good trains, passenger trains. So, these trains had a system, right? For a passenger train, there was a different system. For a goods train, there was a different system. So, see, for example, now, it's one line, right? And you got two trains coming around the same time, passenger and a goods train. So, they will ask the passenger train to move on, while they will ask the goods train to stop. The obvious reason is that the passenger train has to be at the station as scheduled, you know. This station must come on this time, And that station must become on that time, right? But the goods train, there isn't a need for it to reach at that specific time. It's all right. If it reaches one day, 2 days later, also it's all right. But the passenger train has to be there on schedule. So now both are coming around the same time. If they're coming from two different lanes, then they have to cut onto one lane. So obviously now only one can be using the line at that one time. So they'll halt the passenger, they'll halt the goods, and they allow the passenger to move on. Now, it's a goods train, right? When it's a goods train, it's carrying something very good, right? So everybody knows about it. It's a goods train, it's carrying something good, goodies, right? So now the locals, they hear about it. This thing is carrying goods, right? Now, how to rob the train? Because there's so much of goods they're carrying. If you take a little bit, it won't make a difference. Maybe it will lessen their load. So it will do them a favor, you know. So they think now, they plan it out in their minds how to work out a plan. So at the end of the train, you have a guard, right? At that time, you used to have a boor, nice big fat chap, and he'll be right at the back. So one of the locals, he'll start him off. He'll start the boor. Say, you like this and like this. Now he'll be fuming because the train is stalling, right? It's stationary, it's not moving. And this person from a distance is swearing him, abusing him, insulting him, right? So he's insulting and insulting and insulting, abusing him, until that person can't take it any longer. When he can't take it any longer, so he'll jump off the train to chase this person here. So as he gives this person the chase, that entire group, they jump onto the train, they cut off that, whatever they need to cut off, that cover, and they rob the train, whatever they want. But you see, they're planning. What was their planning? The planning was just to divert the attention. They diverted the attention, and they got what they wanted. He's not, the chance is he'll never get that person. That person is too swift. He's so big, fat. How is he going to catch this person? He won't catch that person. This person that robbed the whole train. Now, the same game the shaitan plays with us. Now, we don't realize it, that if the game was being played with them, then it's being played with us as well. We've got so many obligations, so many deeni things to do, right? Around our deeni time, Ramadan and all that, radio, television, all these things will come up with some program, right? Something they'll come up with. So our minds are all hooked up into that. There are so many more important things that we could have invested our time in. Quran Sharif, Namaz, Masjid, going Jamaat al-Bait, whatever. We could have invested our time in so much more fruitfully. But around that time, precisely around that time, these people will just start off this program. It's a cup final, just around your iftar time. Deliberate, you know, it's a deliberate thing. Just around your iftar time, and they got a cup final. Now, the right thing was to go to the masjid, make dua at the last moments, perhaps one dua will get answered, read some Quran Sharif. Now, you think, hey, this thing here will never come again. This cup final and all that will not come up again. So I don't want to lose out. Let me see the thing. So you see how they distract, how they divert your mind, divert attention. So we know about it, these are games, and they divert attention, that you can lose out the better opportunities in life, and you can get into these futile things, you will get nothing. Up to now also, they play the same game. When sometimes you find they want to rob a shop, right? I don't know if they use it still. So they use the same trick they will use. So outside the shop, they'll have about 4 or 5 people, and they'll be doing active in a fight. Right? So the people of the shop are watching at the fight, looking at the fight, what's going on, who's catching it, who's giving it. Right? So as the whole attention is towards the shop, these people that want to steal and rob the shop, they go on, like, very cool and calm, they rob the shop and they go on class. Because everybody's attention is diverted, is direct, is turned away. So, some years ago, in Victoria Street, they used to have this Kumbis leaving for Maritzburg, you know. They park off in Victoria Street, and they moving to Maritzburg, right? So one white person, he left his Kumbi there, right where the taxi rank is, he left it there, and he went to do some shopping. So some local person, he saw that, it's an ideal opportunity. So he saw this Kumbi, and fortunately the Kumbi was also open. So he said, Maritzburg, 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 Maritzburg. In 5 minutes he got the whole Kumbi filled up. He collected 100 rand from everybody. And then he's gone. Now the white person comes. He says, you got a full load. So you see this distraction, diverting attention. How serious it is. Watch what shaitan does. He just diverts attention. Divert the attention. And he's got you on his game. So Allah doesn't like this. Min husni islamil mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'ni. You know, just now in the strip, with the grace of Allah Ta'ala, we went to Meerut, right? So we saw one man there. We stayed over a little bit there in Meerut for about 2 hours. So there was a queue of people that came to meet. So amongst them was one man, 105 years of age. But he was still walking normal. I think, you know, if you look at my Intiaz's grandfather, something that he was. Thin, but very focused and he's walking straight. A little bit hunched, 105. But I was not so impressed by the age, but I was impressed at how he programmed himself. He's an ordinary person, not a Maulana, Hafiz or nothing. But he won't allow 1 second to be wasted. He just focused on it. He came to meet, and straight away then he's on his work. He got a program, not read Quran Sharif, Zikr, Namaz. He's on his work. That time that he was in Ethica, just in work, not talking, not in anything that was futile. Just, I got a limited time. Now that was, we were there around the 7th or 8th of Ramadan, I think. 7th of Ramadan. But now that's the beginning of Ramadan. And our eyes open up towards the end, you know, about 27th, we should get up. Here, for the 7th of Ramadan, and he was on the ball, he's focused, at the age of 105, imagine. Now that was the thing that was really enviable, something for us to learn. How focused a person needs to be. There'll be so many things that will distract you from your cause. So anyway, I just spoke about this just to share with you some thoughts that were passing my mind, right? That how a Muslim should be programming his time. Use your time in something that is valuable, whether it's dini-wise, dunya-wise, even your discussions. If there's no merit in it, I leave it out. Sometimes it is that we want to talk, right? Now we heard a talk that don't waste your time. Invest your time in something that is fruitful. But now there is an urge to talk now. There's an urge to talk. Now you have to give some vent to your feelings. So you say, well, you know, I got a masla to ask. So you'll try and forge up some type of a deeni discussion. Not because you need to ask about deen, but because you need to discuss something. You want some talk, something to engage in, right? Not because you need that masla. Because if, for example, you needed that masla, now you're at a busy business moment, and you will ask that masla then. At that time, you're not going to ask that masla. You will ask now when you're free, now you want to pass your time, but now I mustn't waste my time. So now, because you told me not to waste my time, let me use my time. I'll ask some masla, but I'm not wasting my time now. See? So that masla is just a creation. You faked up some masla. Like I said, people asking now, when you reach up the moon, what direction must read namaz, right? Now these are all faked up things. And these are not, really Islam doesn't advocate this type of behavior. One person came to one Mulana. So he says, you know, there was a difference between Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu and Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. They had some differences, right? Perhaps some serious differences. But now, we want to know who was right and who was wrong. In a difference, there must be someone that is right and someone must be wrong, see. So the Mawlana asked him, "By what work are you doing?" He said, "No, I am a tailor. And you, what are you doing?" "No, I sell shoes." Right? So Mawlana told him, "By you go and do your tailoring and you go and sell your shoes." Right? In the Qabr, if they ask you that who was right and who was wrong, then just say that Mawlana told me I must do my business. I mustn't worry about that. On the day of Qiyamah, if they ask, you know, who was right, Hazrat Muawiyah or Hazrat Ali was right, same, you know, Mawlana, I went and asked the Mawlana said, "Don't worry about that. that Allah Pak will sort their differences out, but I must do my business. But Allah Pak would ask you about it. So why must you get involved in it? Why? Isme aapko kya milne wala hai? What do we get? In that same time, you could have read three rukus, one sipar you could have read, but you discuss something. Sometimes it's just to show your intelligence and what a good tahqiq you got, so much of research you got, all the facts here. But what did you get at the end? So, one person commented, all right, I feel that Muawiyah was on the wrong. Right. So, when he was on the wrong, why did he? Wasn't that a serious thing? So the Mullah says, yeah, you know how serious it is. It is serious like this. There is a consequence for any mistake that you make, right? Now, is this not a sufficient consequence that people that are so backwards in deen, they've gone so far off, so unworthy people, we are talking about the merits of their discussion, of their debate. We are totally unworthy, so far off, millions and billions of miles away from them, in rank and in righteousness and virtue. Total unworthy people like us, we are discussing these people of that personality. So, no point in discussing that. You're not going to get any deen, you're going to get any dunya. I leave the thing, let them carry on. وَلَا تُسْأَلُونَ عَمَّا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ Allah is not going to ask you in the kabar, I won't ask you anywhere. One person asked, that Buzruk, he gave him khilafat now. He saw him, so he made him his khalifa. But I don't think he deserves to be a khalifa. He made him a khalifa. So what he says, that I don't think that person deserves to be a khalifa. So he wrote up to that Buzruk, you appointed him as your khalifa. So I don't think that you have done the right thing. You need to review this thing. He's not supposed to be your khalifa. Right? So you must cancel his khilafat and all that. So the Buzruk wrote up back to him. You see, when I appointed him as the khalifa, I didn't consult with you. Now, if I need to cancel it also, I don't need to cancel. I don't need to consult with you. Why must you get involved with that? He knows why he did something. If he had appointed him as a khalifa, he knows why he did. He didn't consult you at the time of appointment. Now, at the time of cancelling the appointment, he doesn't need to consult with you. Why must you get involved with it? So you see how much of our valuable time just gets used up in all these things here. More time I used to say that instead of getting onto all this thing here, you rather plant something in your garden, eat of it. I tell the people, rather than discussing this thing here and disputing about something, go to Wimpy's, buy some ice cream and eat at least. Kuch na kuch pet mein aa jayega, right? You'll enjoy yourself a little bit. How you discuss these people here, some personality, you feel lousy about it. Why did I discuss the whole thing? You went to Wimpy's, you bought an ice cream, you ate something, you enjoyed yourself. Why discuss these things here? Na deen ka fayda, na dunya ka fayda. You don't have any deen, no dunya. Nothing. Both ways you lost out. So do something that is constructive. Do something that is useful. Our minds must be like that. Allah will make our minds like that. One great buzruk in India, someone tried to run him down. See, they try to preserve every moment. Every moment of this, they try to secure it. They don't want to waste it, because they know what it means. What it means, they know it. So he tried. So there was another person living in the town, and he tried to run him down, perhaps a Hindu. So this Hindu tried to run this Buzruk down. He says, what's better, your beard or the hair of the tail of my donkey? My donkey, the hair on the tail. What's better? That is better, or your beard is better? So that Buzruk didn't get emotional, and he didn't want to waste his time. All he said is, I will get to know once I am dead. After I am dead and gone, then will I understand that my beard was better, or the tail of your donkey was better. I was a saintly person, Buzruk person. So he made dua to Allah Ta'ala, right? And then he made a bequest, and he says to his people, you know, after I'm dead, my bier, as you're taking it, passes, just take it across the home of this Hindu who used to taunt me in this manner. So it was a big curse of a buzug that I must take, that the bier must be taken, the janaza must go across. So as the janaza came to his house, he sat on the bier, the buzug that died, he sat on the bier, and he held his beard, and he says, Alhamdulillah, I have died with Iman, so I can safely say that my beard was better than the tail of your donkey. You see, where was his nazar? Where was his mind? His mind was by, all these things are all futile. There's no point in discussing all this thing here. The actual merit is dying with Iman. If you die with Iman, right, you scored, and you scored big way. And you didn't die with Iman, then what's the reason to discuss all these points here? Leave all these points, forget it. Rather, we think about our death, our last moments, right? Is that going to be right? So he made a request, and Allah Pak honored the person's request, because he thought right, he understood right, he seen things right. When he saw things right, then Allah Pak wanted to favor him also. He honored him in this manner. Our Buzugana Deen say, that when you get involved in things that don't concern you, right, then your discussions will border with sin. It may not be sinful, but definitely it can. It can. It's likely that it borders with sin. Like I showed you, they're showing a sports or program right at iftar time. Are you missing out your jamaat, etc.? Is that not bordering with wrong? Is it bordering with wrong or not? It's bordering with wrong. Because of this one addiction now, so many, a whole host of wrongs will get involved in. So they give an example. One buzurg went to meet his friend. He heard that he wasn't feeling well. So to go and meet a sick person is a sunnat, right? So now in carrying out the sunnat, he went to meet out the friend that was sick. So anyway, he went there, sympathized with him, made dua for him, and then asked, hey, what happened? You know, like you'll ask a sick person, how, what happened? So now, I got a boil. So this visiting person, this visiting buzurug, he asked, oh, and where do you have that boil? So there was some silence. That buzurug understood now that I slipped up. I didn't need to ask this type of a question, that where do you have that boil? Because chances are that that boil may be in a very awkward spot. Right? When that boil is going to be in an awkward spot, then I will feel very ashamed to expose myself that I got this boil at this spot. Right? Don't you feel ashamed? You got the boil at an awkward spot, right? And to reveal yourself that I have got this at this spot here, you feel embarrassed, you feel ashamed about it. Now look at this person's marvelous understanding, this buzurg's understanding, see? Many of them were not like great ulama and all that. But you see, when you practice the ilm that you do have, then Allah Ta'ala grants you knowledge of things that you don't have any knowledge of. You don't have the knowledge of it, but Allah Ta'ala grants you the understanding. You have the basic important understanding of deen, whatever masail you need to know, you got that. And after that, you are adhering to taqwa. When you're adhering to taqwa, then Allah Pak promises you, إِن تَتَّقُوا اللَّهَ يَا أَيُّوَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَآمِنُوا بِرَسُولِهِ. Then after that, يُؤْدِكُمْ كِفْلَيْنِ مِنْ رَحْمَتِي وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ نُورًا. Then if you want to fear Allah Ta'ala, what is going to bless you? One is your rewards will be doubled. And number two, he'll give you a nur. He'll give you a light. Wa yaj'al lakum nuran. Now that nur, what it does? They say nur, the description, the definition of nur, zahirun fi nafsihi wa muzhirun li ghayri. The nur shows you the path. It'll show you what's right, what's wrong. It'll show you your mistakes. See, your mistakes it'll show you. Because you got a nur. Zahirun fi nafsi, muzhirun li ghayri. It shows, you know, where's your problems, where your weaknesses are. Now, that is a reward for your taqwa. What ilm you had, you practiced upon that ilm. Right? You practiced upon the ilm and you held firmly to that ilm. When you held firmly to that ilm, now Allah Pak blesses you with the nur. Right? In the light of the nur, you can see your weaknesses. You can see your problems. You can see this jealousy here, this pride here, this arrogance here, right? This greed here. So I need to fix this thing up. See that how Allah Ta'ala blesses you. In tattaqullaha yaj'al lakum yu'tikum kiflayn min rahmati wa yaj'al lakum nuran. What is your reward will be doubled. And number two, he'll give you a light. And in that light, you'll be able to see what's right, what's wrong. You can see what's harmful, what's going to be useful, what's going to be reward, and what's going to be guna. Both you can distinguish. But you don't have a light. Right? You didn't observe taqwa. So, there was no light. Imam Shafi Rahmatullah's famous advice to, right, that he got from his ustad, al-ilmu nurun, that ilm is nur. Right? So that nur comes when you observe taqwa. When you observe taqwa, then you get nur. And taqwa means that you leave things that will be displeasing to Allah Ta'ala. Doubtful things and displeasing things. There's two things. Things that are of a doubtful nature and things that are displeasing to Allah Ta'ala. You caution yourself. You refrain from that. Now you got taqwa. Now is that a difficult thing? Not a difficult thing. You train yourself. Initially it may be difficult. Eventually it becomes easy. Right? So, the area that we need to be working on, we're not working on that area. Now, there's so much of information, WhatsApp, and this information, that information, this one here, yeah, what's happening in this part of the world, that part of the world, right? What's happening in ISIS, and what? 10 hours of yours are going to get involved in that. But at the end, what did you get out of the whole discussion, what did you get? Or they were showing one program there, in this masjid, or that they were showing something, and you went. But you went for that program, but what did at the end, what did you get? You must come in with something. Come back with something. You go for a nikah, right? You come back at least with a Sydney, you come back. Come back with something. You got a Cadbury chocolate or something. They'll give you jalebi. Those days, they'll give you jalebi and naan katai. Now they'll give you a Cadbury chocolate. But you're coming back with something. Now you went there, you spent 5 hours, 3 hours. They showed you this clip here, that clip, whatever, whatever. But what did you come back with? You know, you got no intention to go there, right? You can't support them. But then what did you get? Kya mila to kya mila? What did you get? See, how our time is just getting wasted. So the actual way, actual place where you need to invest your time, you're not doing it. Now this Buzruk, he understood. See, I'm not supposed to ask this question here, that where do you have that boil? Right? And I asked this question. Right? So when I asked him a question that I'm not supposed to, right, it caused him some taklif, you know. Like someone has got a boil, right, on his private area. I ask you, where you got a boil? Don't you get a taklif? Don't you feel miserable? Don't you feel uncomfortable? You feel uncomfortable. Natural, you feel ashamed. But I was the cause of this person going through pain. So you see, things that don't concern you, they border with sin. Who caused you that pain? I caused you pain. I caused you some embarrassment. I cause you some inconvenience, right? But where did it stem from? From this point, okay, I got involved in a discussion that doesn't concern. Khalas, leave it out. Doesn't concern, leave it out. Khalas. Someone else will discuss it. Let him discuss it if he needs to. But as far as we are concerned, we don't discuss it. At the same time, now we're investing it in the right places. So one is Allah Pak gives you a light. He gives you a better understanding. See, now this Buzruk is not a learned person. But the understanding, now, this type of understanding won't be in the mind of a learned person as well. But this person, uneducated, and he got it. How he got it? Because Allah gave that light. When he got that light, in the light you can see, okay, this is harmful, this is beneficial. Allah will feel the same.